In visions given to John by the Lord Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, the disciples saw many amazing and awe-inspiring things which were to come. Few of them can match the wonder and majesty of what he writes about in Revelation 10, verses 5 to 7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Christ is saying here, in the midst of the tribulation, that there's one more trumpet, judgment. Time will continue after this event, but all evil will be put down without any delay. Did you get that expression, the mystery of God? You see, when Christ comes to reign, there'll be manifestation, not mystery. But what's the great mystery? The long delay of our Lord in taking the kingdom unto himself and establishing righteousness in the earth. The mystery of God is seen in these thousands of years in which Satan and sin, disease and death run riot. There's no village without vice, no city without corruption, no heart without hurt, no home without heartaches, no back without burdens, no soul without sorrows, no community without cemeteries, no toil without tears, no life without death. The mystery is the delay of God in taking the kingdom to himself. For thousands of years, God has allowed Satan to wrap his filthy fingers around human life on this earth. Does God know it? Is he indifferent to it? Is he unable to do anything about it? The atheist, the agnostic, the infidel, the unbeliever laugh and mock us, and God lets them mock. The godless prosper, but the godly don't. Missionaries are murdered, Bibles are burned, babies are butchered, Christians are killed, wars are waged, storms slay so many, millions are oppressed, starving, living in despair, yet God doesn't intervene. Oh, the mystery of God's delay. But there's a day, an hour, a moment, when the long-suffering of God shall end. He'll say to death, "This is your last victim." He'll say to the devil, "This is your last opportunity." He'll say to the disobedient, "This is your last effort." These things work so desperately against us now. We don't understand them. We can't understand them. But God insists that he'll make them work for our good, and we believe him. So God says to us through this passage that we're not to lose heart, we're not to be discouraged, and we're not to give up. We're on the victory side. Look at the agency, verses 8 to 10. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. You and I are to do the same thing with the Bible. Jeremiah said, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. David said, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But why did the word, which tastes so sweet, leave a bitterness in the stomach? The prophecies of coming judgment. The future will be glory for the saint, but grief for the sinner. Heaven for the saint, hell for the sinner. We may also look at it like this. There's the sweetness of salvation, but also the bitterness of breaking with the world, the bitterness of persecution. A young Jewess professed conversion. She went home and told her mother and father. They were angry, and they said, Either give up your family or give up your Jesus. The sweetness of coming to Christ was turned into the bitterness of parting with her parents. But she went to the piano and played and sang, Take the world, but give me Jesus. Now, look at the assignment, verse 11. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The one who was saved should do what? Witness to other souls. The Living Bible gives this verse like this. You must prophesy further about many people, nations, tribes, and kings. From the beginning of Christianity, it has taken one soul to save a soul. Christ alone can save the world, but he can't save it alone. He needs you, and he needs me. While making a tour of Latin American countries, preaching Christ, we went to a pueblo, or a village, where the people were anxious to hear about the word of the Lord. Mrs. Guido and I were there. She presented her magic with a message, and I sang and preached Christ. I gave the invitation. Everyone in that village dropped to their knees and asked Jesus to come into their hearts. It was tremendous. Everyone professed conversion. That night, while we were in one of the homes, a runner came to us and asked us to go see a Christian lady. She was the only Christian living in that great area. We went to her home the next day. She was lying in a hammock, and she was dying. She told us that she had cancer. Her face had been eaten up with this disease. She was in constant pain. We were told how she wanted to live just so she could witness to the people of these villages. As she would go on a journey to witness, she would become awfully sick. She would be unable to walk, and she would drop on her all fours, and she would crawl on her hands and knees. Many were the days when she would be in awful pain and she would cry, "Oh, God, I don't mind the pain. Just give me the grace and let me live until somebody gets saved." And she said to Mrs. Guido and me that day, "I heard the entire village came to Christ last night. Now I'm ready to go home to heaven." And then she asked that we all join hands and sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Tell me, would you have prayed to live had you suffered as she suffered, just so you could have witnessed as she witnessed? Oh, if you are true to Christ, you'll testify for him. Are you true to him?